Okay, so here we are. We have covered kinah, jealousy, which is obviously a very important midah to work on. It's not easy, but it's very worthwhile to go through this. And again, just want to add another point that, let me just make sure everyone can hear me. I'm checking my thing. Yes. A lot of times we're working on midas in the wrong way. Oh, 1 second. I think I'm on mute. No, I'm good. A lot of times we're working on midas in the wrong way, meaning it would make sense to us that the way to work on a midah is to talk to ourselves and say, don't be jealous and be happy for someone else and, you know, kind of like beat yourself up about it. Sometimes the way to work on these midas is to build your self-confidence. Instead of even working on the jealousy, if a person would just start enjoying their own life more, meaning nothing to do with the jealousy, just simply to appreciate what they're good at, to appreciate that they have a role, and you're not hitting the midah head on. What you're doing is you're finding some sort of symptom. One of the jealousy could sometimes be a symptom of a lack of self-esteem. When you go to a doctor, for example, right? So the doctor will hear that you have someone has a headache, he has a stomach ache, and his bones are hurting. So those are three symptoms: headache, stomach ache, and bones hurting. So now, which one's actually the problem? So here you need a real good doctor to figure out what exactly is your issue. And if you're not a good doctor, or you're making a mistake at this point at least, and you try to take care of the guy's bones are hurting, so now you're giving him medicine for a problem with bones, that might not be the issue. The issue might be from the stomach or from the head. And it's sometimes you'll treat the head and it's really an issue in the stomach. Sometimes you treat the stomach and it's actually an issue in the bones. So you have to know what the issue is. So a lot of times in jealousy, a person can say, I'm having a problem in jealousy. But a lot of times that's not the problem at all. It's a lack of self-esteem. And you can test yourself on this. Because when a person's in a good place and they feel good about themselves, a lot of times they're a lot less jealous of other people. Because they're just so enjoying what they're doing. And when people, like, let's say someone gets fired from a job, or he's really having trouble finding his place, there's going to be a lot more jealousy that's going on, because it's really a result of the fact that he's not happy with himself. So it's very important to know what causes your jealousy. We said yesterday, it could be that a person's starving for attention or has a certain need. A person is starving for attention from his parents, and he feels that his kid brother or kid sister is getting all of that attention. So the jealousy is not really coming from the sibling. It's coming from a real feeling of lack of connection with a parent. So then a person might want to try to address it with the parent, as opposed to working on jealousy. He might try to resolve the feeling of a lack of connection with the parents, a lack of spending time with that parent, hit that head on, and then the jealousy will simply disappear, hopefully, if it's a healthy relationship. But not always is your problem the jealousy. The jealousy could just a lot of times be a symptom of some other thing that is bothering you that's going on in your life. And this is always a good thing to remember in working on midos, is not always the thing that's bothering you is what's really your problem. I'm trying to think of, I'll tell you a very strange example. I have kids in the room, so I'm going to try to say it in the most appropriate way. But, there was a fellow who came to me from a yeshiva, a yeshiva of Mitzuyanin, And he came to me and he wanted to speak to me. And I always get nervous from people I don't know so well, because I feel like really, if you don't know someone well, it's dangerous to give them hadracha, but sometimes you have no choice. And he was a real big mitzvah. And he told me that one night he just left yeshiva and went to Tel Aviv. And he did all sorts of interesting things over there. Now, obviously not appropriate for a yeshiva bachur, needless to say. And he was like beside himself why he did this. And so normally when someone comes to you with this, so you think, oh, you have to discuss with them either taivas nashim or whatever the issue is, or other types of taivas. And I had a conversation with him, and what came up in the end was something amazing, was that he doesn't feel like he's accomplishing in yeshiva. When we narrowed it down, that he went to Tel Aviv on a night where he felt the least accomplished in his shiur. He didn't understand shiur, and the other one was doing better than him, and he's trying to get it exactly, and he's not. So I told him, I said, I don't think your issue is going to Tel Aviv. I think your issue is that you're too hard on yourself. We were able to figure out that he's what's called a perfectionist, somebody who needs to do things exactly right. And because he couldn't man up to that, he ended up out of pressure just sort of busting out of yeshiva. But it had nothing to do with what Tel Aviv has to offer. It really had to do with the fact that the Tel Aviv was the symptom, but that wasn't the reason, that wasn't his issue. And this is something very important and amazing yesod in how to deal with things, is never to just hear what people are telling you, but try to find the underlying issue. A lot of times, there are times where Bachram will come to me. Sometimes Bachram come from the mirror. And again, this is when people I don't know, and you still have to make a call because no one else is there to help them. And, you know, someone tells me he has this issue in Kedusha And sometimes I tell them very strange advice. I'll tell one guy that he's learning too much during Bein Hasdarim, or that one guy's not getting enough sleep, or one guy's not eating well enough. And they get a little bit uncomfortable. They came to me for an issue in Kedusha, and I'm telling them to take it easy, Bein Hasdarim. What does the two have to do with each other? But this is tested and proven by me many, many times over, that a lot of times a person could have a problem in Kedusha because he's under tremendous amounts of stress. And if he thinks he has an issue of Kedusha, which actually makes his Kedusha, makes his stress level higher and makes him have more problems of doing Averis that he never would have done if he was just calm. This is a very important thing to remember. I once had, I'll tell my own story, maybe my kids are here, so maybe I told this to them, but I don't know if I did, but it's an interesting story. When I was younger, I was learning more than I do today. Now I play racquetball most of the day. I don't even know if racquetball is still a sport. They still have racquetball? I'm not even sure. Does anyone know in the crowd if there's racquetball anymore? Anyway, there used to be racquetball. But in the old days when I was in Kailal, and in the beginning, I was learning a lot. I was probably learning much more than I should have been, but I'm happy that I did it and I don't regret it. But I went to a certain Rav, and I felt very, wanting to do more, and I felt very nervous and not relaxed. And I went to a very big Rav for an Eitza, and he told me that you need, the thing that's separating you from Hashras Hashchina is a couple hours more of sleep. And I was like, what? I didn't want to hear that, and I didn't even know what he was talking about. I was like ready to do, move, shake, and become. And he was telling me to get more sleep. He was saying that I didn't have enough simcha, and he felt it was caused from lack of sleep. And I was very shocked, because this was a person who was like a malach, like somebody I wouldn't have viewed as somebody bechlal who would have said something like that. And I don't know about the Hashras Hashchina part, but I definitely know that this Rav, I believe, in many ways saved my whole approach to Yiddishkeit. And now I just, I gained so much more. Now, what I came to this realm for was I want to do more. I want to be more. I'm not satisfied. And he told me to go to sleep, which is interesting. That's the way we're basically understanding how to work on mitos here, is not to look at the actual thing that's wrong, but to perhaps just think about what could be causing this problem. It's very, very interesting to think about this. And there's so many different areas that this could come up in. But this is very essential for working on midos, is not to be a balabas and just think that if you have a problem in a certain mida, that's your problem. It could be that there's something deeper and you should speak to somebody about it work on it. One second, please. Should we turn the air conditioner? We're just turning on the air conditioner. It's a little stuffy in here. Not for you guys, for me. I mean, I'm sure you guys are doing well. But one second. Anyway, so that's very important. I wish I could offer people to ask questions on this point. Is it safe to do that? Maybe I'll try as an experiment.
I think Rebbe can. If Rebbe wants, in other words, we could just keep it. If anybody knows how to raise their hand, we could try it that way, maybe.
Oh, that's how you do it? You raise your hand?
There's a button to raise your hand.
And then what do? I call on them, Kilo?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
So, like,
that.
For instance, that's... it would come up like this. You see my hand?
Yeah, and then I choose you, Kilo?
Yeah. In other words, Rebbe could just say whoever's name it is, and they'll unmute themselves. That would be how Rebbe could ever have somebody.
I like that.
Somebody.
So I'm checking if anybody's going to – I now see Zevi raise his hand. Zevi, no offense, but I'm not going to call on you. But is there anybody else who has a question on this point? You know what? We're going to try from now on, now that we learned this cool feature of raising your hand, we are going to try to use this, because in a mitos vod, it does not have to be me talking, and I don't need to talk. So if anybody wants to raise their hands, I'm going to try to find you with your little blue hand. All right, let's continue. So, Petira, ki achos hakina hi hachemda va'ataiva. The sister mida of kina is chemda and taiva. What does this mean? What does it mean to have a sister? Jealousy has a sister called desire. What does that mean? How could jealousy have a sister? What it means is the following. That you have... the midah of jealousy is the desire to be somebody else, be like somebody else. And what that does is then it creates a certain desire. The desire comes. Actually, the taiva is sort of many times created by wanting to be like someone or wanting to have their life. And then the taiva comes and follows. Halohimi agas leva adam ad yom moso. A person doesn't leave the world with having fulfilled even half of his taivas. Right? Taiva is like a world. And if a person lets his mind go wild, he will find that he could come up with all sorts of ridiculous and wild and fantastic ways of filling his taivas. And there's no end. A person can't even stop. Once he starts this, he could think of anything and everything. First, a person could want to go to the Catskills, fine. Then he went to the Catskills, and then he wants to go to Florida. So he goes to Florida, then he wants to go to Mexico. Then he wants to go somewhere where the water is see-through. I always had this when I was younger. I never did it yet, but I always wanted to go somewhere where the water is literally see-through. see-through, you know, where they like have these pictures of like water that's see-through. I never did that yet. I don't even know where to go if anyone has any Aitzas. Yoni, they don't have that in California, see-through water, real like see-through with white sands, right? Yoni? Yoni? Yoni's surfing right now. Okay. Anyway, but there's no end. And then you might want a butler to be there at the white sand and clear water so that you could have a pina colada. And then it just keeps going and going and going and going. Taiva is something that just can keep going. Vamnam ikara taiva ponilishne rosha ma'echad hu mamon. There are two ways that taiva goes. The first one is a taiva for money. Ooh. Vasheni hu akavod. And the second one, this is really interesting. This is really interesting. He's not going on taiva of like taiva sachila or those things. He's going on money. And the second one is respect. Both of these are really bad and cause people a lot of trouble. So let's try to understand this for a second. What is the desire for money? It's a very interesting point. I mean, it sounds very simple, but it's not at all. Rav Dessler talks about this. What does it mean to have a taiva for money? Now, let's say a person has a taiva for a car, a fancy car. Let's say a, what's that, the electric car? A Tesla. Tesla. Okay, not Rabbi Tesler, and not Tesla, but a Tesla. Tesla was actually one of the discoverers of electricity, but he didn't make the books like the, who was it? Who was the other one? The other guy. He was actually born in Croatia. Don't ask me how I know that, but that's Croatia's pride and joy, is that Tesla is from there. It's just an important fact that you could read on a tangy taffy. How'd I get into that? Oh, so if a person has a taiva, I also have to entertain my kids on this VOD. So if they're not laughing, then I'm not doing my job as a parent, so you'll excuse me. But they are laughing, so at least they find me funny here. If a person wants a fancy car, okay, he wants a fancy couch, a fancy dining room table, that's not taivas mamon, and this is a common misconception. That's just he likes nice stuff. And that's a separate kind of taiva. But taiva for money, what does it mean to want money? Money. So this Rav Dessler says an amazing thing. Money, people who desire money, and there are people who even for carrots, they desire money so much they don't spend any of their money. It's very ironic. You'd think that if someone loves money, he loves spending. No. There are people who love money so much they won't spend at all. The reason is because they love options. Money is options. In fact, that's why some people have a hard time spending money. Meaning, let's say they have $100,000 in the bank. So if they have $100,000 in the bank, they feel the options of $100,000. But if they buy a car that's $70,000, now they feel like their options shrunk. And they actually would rather just have money that they don't even spend to know that they could do whatever they want with it. It's a fascinating thing. Money is options. Again, there are people who love spending money, but there's a certain, the desire for money is rooted in the desire for power to make decisions. Money is a lot of things. It's options. It's options. And that's why my Rebbe Zatzal, Rav Moshe Shapiro, said that Ashiras, the midah of wealth in the Mekubalim goes under Gvura, which is power. Because somebody who is wealthy can call shots. Now, that's really Gishmak, because when you have, as they say, there's an expression in Israel, Bal Hameya, Bal Hadeya, the one who provides the $100 bill is the one who decides. Balamea, baladea. And that's really the taifa for money. Power, the ability to make those decisions. So it can come up in many different ways. It can come up with people who actually leave this world after 120 with some like $5 million that they never spent because they always wanted to just have the options. And sometimes it's the opposite. There are people who love the options so much that they end up spending it all so quickly because they love expressing the options. So there could be two different manifestations of this love of options. Either you love having the options, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, and you want everything to stay in your bank account, or you love expressing the options. And as soon as you get the money, more than even loving the stuff you buy, you love that you can buy it, and you love that you're running around the mall with swiping your credit card, and that's geschmack. But this is a separate taiva from the taiva for beautiful things and nice things, which is interesting. I don't know if most people would have known this. When I saw Rav Dessler, to me it was quite a chiddush the way he was describing this idea. And if you examine yourself, you'll see 100% that this is really true, that this is really the taiva for money. It was the taiva for options. Okay, so next time we'll tackle the taiva for money, and I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the day. I hope we hear besuras tovos, yeshuas v'nechamos, v'refuas for all of Klal Yisrael.